message today is from probably the least known parable that Jesus shared in the Gospels. If I mentioned it, hey, do you know the parable of this? Most people would not know of it. So here it is. Jesus tells a story about a crook, a dishonest steward who is commended for his dishonesty. He cheated his boss. He's being fired. But before he lost his job, he thought about how he could take care of himself. He knew what he wanted, and he came up with a scheme on how to carry it out and get it. Because he also knew, as it says there, he didn't want to have to dig ditches, and he's too proud to beg. He was committed to his materialistic lifestyle, and he wanted to make this thing work out to his benefit. And as one person said, as long as you've been caught with your hand in the cookie jar, there's no sense leaving with your apron pockets empty. You know, go for it if you can. So what does he do? He decided that the people who owed his boss money would be grateful to him if he could change their bill. So he invited the debtors in and asked them to change their bill. Boss finds out, and he commended the guy for using his head, for his creativity, and for fast thinking on his feet so that he could be taken care of. The end. And Jesus then looks at his audience and said, if only you could be like him. So, how's that for a Sunday school lesson from Jesus? And you scratch your head and say, what just happened here? Here's the point. We are to be like him, the guy in the story, in that he was clever and like he was committed. The man has no morals. He's got a huge amount of creativity, and he knows exactly how to use it to get what he wants. Now, of course, it would have been better if he would have used all that creativity and all that knowledge and all that stuff in an honest way. And we know that Jesus isn't, in his statement, encouraging us to go out and be dishonest and to, you know, do wrong. But what does Jesus want? He does want us to use the gifts he has given us. Intelligence, creativity, the ability to plan ahead, to do all these kind of things. So the bottom line is this. If wicked people can use these things, how much more should the people of God? The people in the world, Jesus would say, are eager and ingenious in their attempts to attain money and comfort. So if only the followers of Christ could be as eager or as ingenious. Jesus wants us to act with the same intensity in our discipleship and commitment as the cheats and crooks act, you know, in their attempt to gain comfort and wealth. So it kind of throws questions back to us. Why do we as Christians at times seem to act so casual about our care of our souls or the souls of others? Why do we find ourselves spending so little time concerned about the right use of our resources? And you start seeing, see the point that Jesus is trying to make in this parable. Jesus is saying that since the people of this world are so intense in their way of life, why aren't my followers? And that's kind of what he's saying there in verse 8. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. The parable is not specifically about money. And it's not about commending a person for being dishonest, obviously. The parable is about commitment and zeal and ambition and dedication to Jesus. See, the crooked manager applied every ounce of his planning, his wisdom, and energy into living for his own interests. It was all about him. But God is saying, I would like the way we act, the way we think, the way we make decisions, the way we interact with others to be influenced by our commitment to Christ. And we start tracking where Jesus' mind is going in the way he crafted this parable, this story, to really what if? What if the church was resourceful in the pursuit of Christ's mission, as committed to the kingdom of God is as the world is in its pursuit of the things it goes after? And when you lay it alongside the New Testament lesson for today, you totally see the connection. It ties in. Because in 1 Timothy 2:4, it's speaking of God who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All laid out in those first seven verses there that were read. Because there are millions and millions of people who live their entire lives as if this is all there is or ever will be. It's all about what happens in my life that I do right now for me in this world, and that's it. What can we learn? How do we apply this? And really what it's trying to say is, think into the future. Think into the future. Because the master commends his formerly dishonest steward for a very shrewd solution. The steward actually sacrificed what he could have taken now, maybe his commission or whatever, and has given it to others so that in some way or another it would play out in his favor in the future. Jesus gives application. Our best investment is in the people that we will see in heaven, the people we desire to see in heaven. Possessors of eternal life in Christ. The manager used his discounts to influence customers so they would kind of receive him or look good on him after he's lost his job. He would use his money and resources, and what comes back is, how are we using our money and our resources to influence people for Christ? Because really Jesus is saying, you know, one day, our money's going to be gone. Our money's going to be gone, and we'll be gone from our money. So while we have the opportunity, let's look at the resources, even if it's money, let's look at the resources we do have to influence people for eternity. So we think about our investments, the resources that we have. And we start considering, you know, our weekly and regular tithing or offerings that we give to the ministry of the church. We think in terms of the resources of our time and the things we give ourselves to ministry or to just serving other people and sharing. We think about our prayers that we offer up when we know people in our family or neighbors or people in our life that maybe going through a rough time or maybe are struggling spiritually or that don't know Christ as their Savior, and the time we spend praying for them. We start thinking about people that we have those conversations with to be able to talk about our faith. Our management and the possession is a responsibility, and it's almost like these things are given to us like a test. And in a sense, God is testing us in how we use these things. What are we doing with the things that we've got? Because as it says there, God knows that the one who is faithful in little is also, or can be, trusted with much. They'll be faithful in much. Faithfulness with the little things of money indicate how faithful we will be with the big things. The true riches of our relationship with God and others. Small examples of selfishness now result in greater selfishness later. Small examples of generosity now result in greater generosity later. And so it's always helpful to be, as a reminder, money can be a great servant. but as a terrible master. So we think, what are the things that I possess in our homes or just in our lives? What are the things that we possess? Because all those things that we possess, they are either tools to be used or they're idols. What could we or what do we need to do to be better steward of the resources that God's given us? How do we take these things and use what God's given us to show the love of the Lord to someone else? It's so easy to become enslaved to the things of the world and pursuing of those things. And here God says, here's an everlasting treasure that you can have that's good for all eternity. You know, again, I look at the kids in our school, and I see kids and I see families that are being touched and reached by the message of Christ. When I see our connection with Orange Lutheran, as they recognize all the years of ministry that they have and the impact that school has had on the lives of so many students. When I hear about and see lives touched and impacted by the ministry of this church, and I hear stories about what people have done here to serve other people, it's incredibly encouraging. It all loops back to what people have invested. You know, helping people to be pointed to Jesus. So we think about the abilities that we have, and that's kind of what Jesus is trying to get people to think about in this parable. Because they really are just reflections of a loving, creative God who made us. Anything you could identify in your own personal life as an ability or a gift of some sort. The love or the gift of gardening or art, leadership, communication, compassion, whatever it is that just kind of by nature just comes from you or you just love doing. Every one of those things, you could see how it's a reflection of what God does or what he is like in some form perfectly. Everything. God calls us to be creative with the creative things he's given us. And then you think about God and his creativity. And you say, well, what's the most creative thing that God ever did? The most creative thing he ever did to save us? And you think, who else could have come up with such a creative way to save us? To make it possible for us to have a relationship with him. To pull that plan off. Why? Bottom line, because God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He pulled out all the stops in creativity to pull that off. He desires that all people are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so he says, all right, folks, let's be creative. And let's pull out the stops in how we in our lives, through what we've been given and entrusted with, and our talents and abilities and ways that we can do things, and let's go at it with the desire and the motive that all people could know salvation in Jesus Christ and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what's exciting about the Christian faith and being a part of the family of God, that we can, you know, collectively do this together and encourage one another on in our own individual lives. Because God wants all people saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life. Will you provide in and through the work of your Son, Jesus, the most out there creative thing imaginable, how you orchestrated that whole thing from eternity. And here we are as your family and as your children. God, I just pray that you would just help us to look within ourselves at the creative things that you have done within us, how you've gifted us, and whatever our situation is in life right now, and how we could still leverage those things to just live out our faith, to let people know a little more about who you are and what you've done, and experience your love and work for them. God, call us to that. Just encourage us through that. And we're just thankful for it. We just give ourselves to that this week. Give you our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your creative work that called us into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll now take our offering.